Church, good morning. Well, we are getting ready to dive into this new series on prayer, Pray Like Jesus. Who here believes that we need to really engage in prayer in this season of where we're at? This is powerful. This is an important series, and I'm going to need extra prayer this morning because on my way up here, I realized that the notes that I emailed myself are the wrong notes for my sermon. I just realized that 15 seconds ago. And so I'm going to need some prayer this morning as well because I had my notes ready and these are not them. We're going to make it through. It's going to be all right. So in this series, Pray Like Jesus, what we're doing, well, I'll tell you the reason that we're doing this series over the next 6 weeks is as a church, and we obviously look at the chaos that is around us. I mean, we see the fires, and we see the hurricanes, and we see the fire over in Lahaina, and all the different chaos and tragedy that's really going on around us, and that's really evident, and we see that right in front of our faces. But we also, the things that we maybe don't see, the spiritual battle that's going on around us that we know and that we're aware of, but that we, oh, I got, thanks. That we, there's a spiritual battle going on around us at all times, and this one's a little harder to detect, and we're going to talk about the spiritual battle here a little bit today, but we have to understand that we have an enemy, he's real, he's out to get us, and that we have an opportunity to partner with the Lord in facing that spiritual battle around us. Now, prayer is a part of our everyday lives. Prayer is something that we should be doing every single day, all throughout the day. It's not just something that we do ritualistically. This isn't some religious routine that we do to get God's favor in our life. We pray as a way of life. We pray to engage our hearts and our minds and our souls with God as we take on the day, as we go to work, as we have conversations, as we enter into certain situations that may be stressful, hectic, chaotic, maybe even tense. Maybe there's some hard conversations that you have to have with a loved one, a spouse, a child, a coworker, a neighbor, whatever that is. We learn that as we engage in these different situations and in these different conversations and these different situations in our life, it's like, God, we need you in this moment. Before you hit the send button on that text message or post that Instagram post or send that tweet or whatever, it's like, man, should I really be doing this? God, what is it that you want me to send? What is it that you want me to do? So in this series, well, the purpose of this is that we would become praying people, that prayer wouldn't just be something that we do, but that we would be praying people, that would be a part of who we are as a church, as a people group, that we would be praying people, not just something to check off a list saying that we did. And so we're going to be looking at what we call the Lord's Prayer. Who here is familiar with what we call the Lord's Prayer? Okay, if you'd be so brave, who here is not familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Anyone not familiar with the Lord's Prayer? Okay, the Lord's Prayer is something we're going to be going over as we dive into this series. Now, you can find the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. It's when Jesus instructs the people on the Sermon on the Mount of how to pray. But then you can also find it in Luke chapter 11 when Jesus' disciples just come to him and say, hey, you got to teach us how to pray. And so the two prayers are found in both of those things. Now, what you have to understand as you're reading through your Bible, which I hope throughout the week you're studying this and you're reading through your Bible, you're going to find these two prayers a little different. They're not word for word the same. And the reason is because in Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus is talking on, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, he's instructing the people on how to pray, what this looks like to pray. It's one of his many discourses that he gives. But then in Luke chapter 11, his disciples just specifically come to him and go, hey, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he repeats the prayer that he taught the people how to pray back in Matthew chapter 6. The other thing you have to know about this verse, because in some translations, it says different things. So if you read an NLT, obviously the translation is going to be different than an NIV or a New King James. But also, there's going to be phrases in that prayer itself that are going to be left out of certain translations. Here's the reason why. So I'm going to be using the New King James and the NIV primarily today. But what you have to understand is in some of those translations, they leave certain phrases out. Or in some of your translations, they have certain phrases in. Because in certain manuscripts, the early manuscripts that we have this prayer recorded in, some of these phrases were left out in some of those manuscripts. Now, the reason that you say, okay, if they were left out in the early manuscripts, why do we have them in our Bibles today? The early church fathers in the 100s, 200s BC had enough proof and evidence based on the manuscripts that they used that they were confident that this was actually to be incorporated in Scripture. So some translations leave it out, but the early church fathers, if you do research on their writings and on their teachings, would include these phrases in. So the Lord's Prayer as we know it that we're going to go over today, the early church fathers that read through the manuscripts and knew the text believed that these were the actual words of Jesus listed in there. Okay. So that's just kind of a disclaimer. During this series, there's some action steps that we want you to know about, that we want you to be aware of and participate in. This is going to help us, encourage us, strengthen us in our prayer life. And so, number one, every single week, starting tomorrow at 6 a.m., we're going to be sending out a text message that includes a prayer challenge, a prayer encouragement, along with a sample prayer that you can pray that corresponds to the message today. So if you send a text message, text PRAY to 208-216-1110, starting tomorrow, you'll get a text message with a devo, a thought on prayer, along with a sample prayer that you can customize. You could pray word for word, and a challenge for that week to challenge you to grow in prayer. So if you get your phone out right now and text PRAY to 208-216-1110, you can sign up to do that. I believe all that's in your notes as well. So if this slide, we got a couple more that we're going to pop up. Also, throughout this series, what we're encouraging our people to do is email any questions that you have about prayer to this email. It's going to be on the screen. Ask reallife@reallifeministries.com. So if there's some questions you have as we go over certain topics and certain things, as we talk about prayer, if you go, man, there's something that doesn't quite make sense, you email that to that email, and we'll try to address those throughout the next 5 weeks in our sermon. Okay, number three, 8 a.m. every single Sunday, we have a group of people that meet right across the hall over here in what we call our team room. It's our room that we set up for our volunteers to get snacks, to relax in between services, to hang out, and to meet other volunteers. And so right across the hall, every morning at 8 a.m., we have a group of people that gather together and pray. This is open to anyone who wants to come and meet at 8 o'clock in the morning and just pray over our services, pray over our people, pray over our kids' ministry, pray over the things going on in the world. This is just a time that we get together and pray every single morning. We want to invite you to be a part of that. And then last but not least, on September 24th, which is a Sunday, it's the last Sunday of this series. It concludes this series from 4 to 5 p.m. right here in this building. We're going to do a prayer and worship night. And so we're going to invite you back after Sunday morning services to come back, and we're just going to spend the majority of our time in prayer, praying as a congregation. We're going to have some songs that we're going to worship together too, but we're going to spend a lot of time praying for our city, praying for our church, praying for the events that are going on across the world, and just praying for us as a body of believers to grow in our relationship with Him. And so all that's in your notes. If you have more questions about that, you can come and talk to me. But these are some things that we're doing throughout this series to focus on prayer. Does that all sound good? Does that all sound good? Yeah. All right, good, good, good. Okay, good. We're excited about prayer, right? I hope you are, because I don't have my right notes, and we're just gonna roll with this. All right. Okay, so let's talk about, so in today, my hope is that we're going to just talk about prayer holistically, and at the end of the sermon today, we're going to break down the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at what those individual components look like, and as we go throughout this series, we're going to take a chunk at a time during the week. And so let's talk about prayer. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. Philippians chapter 4, 6 through 7, it says this: don't worry about what? Anything. Instead, pray about what? We could camp there all morning today. And we should, because I don't have my notes. I'm just kidding. I have most of them. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. Can we just be honest? We're in church, so you can't lie. Like, who typically worries about everything and maybe prays about nothing? Like, what? Is that kind of a natural default? It's like, well, before I pray, I just need to worry, right? Like, I just need to get the worry out of me, and then I'll go pray, right? Is that kind of a natural response? I know for me it can be. It's like, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to worry about this until I just can't do anything else about it. And then I'll go to God and ask him to help me about it. I often associate worry with a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere, right? And so if you're trying to travel someplace, you wouldn't go, I'm going to get my rocking chair and just try to rock there, right? Like, it would keep you busy for a while and it would give you something to do. It's not going to get you anywhere. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be things that consume our mind and things that we got to try to figure out. And there's stresses of life. But Paul here is saying, listen, instead of worrying about all the things that are going on in your life, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. And then here's the key. I mean, I think this is the key to most of this. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has. Say it. Done. Done. Church, I know for me, okay, so I'm just going to be really, really upfront and honest with you. Typically, I go, okay, God, I'm worried about this. I need you to do this. I see this in the future. I see this coming up, and I need help with this. And I'm looking ahead, all the things that I need and all the things that I want God to do. And then I forget so often about all the things that he's what? All the things he's already done. And it's only when I remember all the things that God's done that it brings clarity and peace to all the things that I know he's going to what? Do. Does that make sense? This is how we get our hearts and our minds right with the Lord. So we pray to God, thank you for who you are. God, I'm not going to worry about these things. In fact, God, I am worried about you, so I'm going to give these worries over to you right now. I'm going to pray about everything that's on my mind. I'm going to tell you, God, what I need. I need X, Y, and Z. But God, I'm also going to thank you for all the things that you've already done in my life. Verse 7, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Okay, now, with a show of hands, if you would rather have peace over anxiety, would you raise your hand? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. And then all your problems will just go away. I'm kidding. That didn't say it in there. It says you're going to have peace, right? You're going to have peace in the midst of all your problems. Okay, James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Some of your translations will say psalms, which a psalm is just a prayer put to music. So if any of you is in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing songs of praise or prayers. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Something that we do as a church, you have to know this. If someone is sick, if someone is going through a hard time, and it just seems like there's just a spiritual attack on this person, on this individual, this family, this couple, we bring our elders, our pastors over that person's house. We do what the Bible says. We anoint that person with oil in the name of Jesus, and we pray that God will heal them. We believe in the power of prayer. This isn't just something that they did back then. This is something that we do today. We make house visits and we make house calls and we go and anoint people with oil. Sometimes people often ask, well, what's the significance of oil? Now, there's explanations of it. It represents the Holy Spirit in that person's life. But ultimately, it just says to do this, and so we do it. We anoint someone's head with oil. And we call the elders and the pastors over. We lay hands on people and we pray that God would heal that person. And we've seen healing, and we've seen miracles, and we've seen the power of God manifest through prayer in situations like that. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you will be healed. Listen to this part. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is powerful. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice how often? Pray how often? Continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray constantly. Pray without ceasing. Acts 2:42. The early Christians, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. This is what they were devoted to. And then this passage in 2 Chronicles in chapter 7, verses 14 through 15, Solomon is dedicating the temple to God. He's dedicating this temple that they just built over to the Lord. And he's saying, man, Lord, we want these mighty miracles to be done here. And we're offering all this up to you. And God answers Solomon's prayer. And he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in praise. This is what God says. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves, they'll pray, I'll hear them. Which is why Jesus in Matthew 21, after the triumphal entry, after Jesus rising to Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, which is prophesied in the Old Testament, and the people are saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save us, save us. They're declaring him king. They're declaring him the Savior that they've been waiting for. Jesus comes in, and the Pharisees are like, tell your disciples to be quiet. He's like, the rocks will cry out if they don't cry out. And there's this triumphant entry, and the first thing Jesus does is he goes into that temple that Solomon designed and built to be a house of prayer. And he begins what? Flipping over the money changers' tables. Begins to clear the temple, gets a whip, and he's just cleaning house. And this is the first and like really the only time we see Jesus angry, because he says, my Father's house was meant to be a house of what? Prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. Jesus saying, this is what this is all about. This is supposed to be a house of prayer. Prayer is important and it's powerful. And often we treat prayer as a last resort instead of my first response. It's like, well, I can't tell you times. I mean, I'll talk to someone who's in the middle of tragedy, middle of heartache, going through a really, really hard time, and they'll say something like this, and maybe you've heard this, maybe you've said this. I've tried all that I can do. I guess all I can do now is just pray. In other words, I've done everything I can do in my own strength. I guess now I'll give it over to the creator of the universe to see what he can do. What if we treated it, instead of worrying about everything, we prayed about everything? Do you think that would change our lives? Do you think that would change our mindsets? Do you think that would change our circumstances? I think it would. And so, over the last 6 or 7 weeks, actually it's been 7 or 8 weeks, we've been looking at different areas of our church that people serve in. We've been highlighting certain people and individuals and families and couples from our church that serve in these different areas. And it was so cool how God orchestrated all this. We're not smart enough to do this. This just happened the way that this happened. We realized that our last video was going to be played this week as we started this series. And our last video is of a 93-year-old man who serves in our church by praying. Watch this video.
My name is Herb Thiessen, and I'm a prayer warrior on the prayer team. I love most about serving because I know that I'm serving Jesus Christ, who served his life for me, and that gives me joy. Well, I would say that I have had experience in my career to be in churches that grow, and it's exciting to be a part of that, especially when they're totally committed to Jesus Christ. And when I landed in North Idaho, God directed me to RLM. My whole life was directed by a prayer, and I found out that RLM is growing, and it is totally committed to winning the world for Christ one at a time. And since I believe in prayer because it directed my life, I asked the Lord, help me to build relationships so that I could be a witness. And that would be under the church at Hayden, because that's where I'm living. Prayer, to me, is the best thing at my age that I can do. My prayer is that I will be a part of the Hayden campus to whom God can say, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did before.
You know, Herb, every single morning, including this morning, meets with us right over there at 8 a.m. And Herb isn't moving chairs in and out of the auditorium anymore. Herb isn't setting things up and tearing things down. Herb is serving our church, and I don't even want to say it, by simply showing up and praying. And this is the most important way that I believe that we can serve our church and serve each other. We need chairs to be set up. We need people to minister to kids and to youth, and people to open up their homes for life groups, and people to serve on the worship team and use the gifts that God's given them. And there's a variety of different areas to serve in. We're all called to serve our church by praying. We're all called to do that. And Herb, I love the prayer that he prayed over our church, that God would say that you're doing more now than you did before, because Herb is focused simply on prayer and going before the King of the universe and saying, would you hear my prayer? We would love to invite you to be a part of that team and a part of praying in the morning with us. Join us to do that. So prayer is important. Prayer is talked about all throughout Scripture, but we have to ask this question, what is prayer? Because prayer is not just simply just something that we say and just words that come out of our mouth. There's reasons that we pray, and there's an understanding of prayer that I think that we have to grasp in order to fully dive into the Lord's Prayer and go, okay, God, why do you call us to pray? How did you call us to pray? So what is prayer? Let's not overcomplicate it. Number one, what is prayer? Prayer is simply a conversation we have with God. It's that. I mean, if you're married, if you have kids, if you are in a relationship of any kind, a friendship, you know that without talking, without communicating, that relationship is not going to be very well. So it's simply just a conversation we have with God. And if we go back to that verse in Philippians, we get to tell God everything that we need and thank him for all he's done. This is part of the conversation that we're having with the Lord, which leads us then into an attitude of gratitude. Instead of having an attitude of worry, we have an attitude of gratitude, which leads us into our second reason of, or our second point of what prayer is. Prayer is all about maintaining a relationship with God. All about maintaining a relationship with God. If we aren't communicating with our spouse, our kids, our loved ones, our family members, even our coworkers, our relationship is going to suffer because of that. My wife and I, we talk every day, multiple times a day. Even if I'm gone traveling or she's gone, whatever that is, we call each other on the phone. We text message each other. We have conversations. At the end of the day, how was your day? How was your day? Now, those conversations, depending on what's going on in our day, may be shorter than other times. We have three kids at home, and so sneaking in a conversation, sometimes it's 5 minutes. And sometimes we get away on a date, and we can sit and have dinner for an hour and just look each other's eyes and have a conversation. But apart from having a conversation with God, our relationship with him is going to suffer. And so it's maintaining that relationship with our Heavenly Father. We tell him that we're sad, that we're joyful, angry, confused. We're able to share with him what's going on in our life. Number three, prayer is this is a big one. It changes our focus of our prayer. But number three is prayer is aligning our will and desires with his. So prayer isn't a time that we simply go before God and lay out our laundry list of all the things that we need from him. Now, going back to Philippians, Philippians says, tell God what you need, but also thank him for all that he's done. And so it's not just simply saying, hey, God, I need this from you. I need this from you. I need to make sure you give me this. I need this. I need this. I need this. This. It's not just like prayer is not so much about us as it is about God. And prayer isn't about changing God's mind on something, about changing our heart. And so when Jesus says in his prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, which we're going to get to in a little bit, he's saying you got to change your mind and your heart on the things that you're praying about. If your prayers are so me-focused, then you're missing the heart of what prayer is about. Because prayer is supposed to be first and foremost about the heart of God. God, what's on your heart? What is it that you want? And how can I join you in making heaven come to earth? Because your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so prayer is all about me going, okay, God, I know that you have a desire to see this person in my life come to the faith, come to a knowledge and understanding of who you are. So God, I'm going to pray for that person today. That's why we pray for the lost every single morning. We gather together as a church. Hundreds of prayers going up every single Sunday for those that don't know Jesus. Jesus says he came to seek and to save the lost. And so if the lost are not on our mind, on our hearts, and in our prayers, we aren't praying the will of God in our lives. Prayer is about aligning our hearts and our desires and our will with God's. What is God's will? Number four, praying is submitting to his leadership. If you think about this, as we pray, we are literally and figuratively on our knees before God. My wife and I, when we pray at night, we kneel beside the bed on our knees and we hold each other's hands. And I'm not saying that this earns us special favor by doing that, but it's a heart posture along with a physical posture of being on our knees before God and just simply saying, God, I need you. Like, I am lower than you. You are above me. I am submitting to you. I am bowing before you in reverence and honor and respect and worship to you, because you are God and I am not. So as I enter into your presence, as I approach the throne of grace, Hebrews says we can boldly approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in times of need. But we do it in this heart posture that's humble and reverent and going, God, I acknowledge who I am. That's why Jesus, when he says, pray like this, our Father who is in what? Heaven. Our Father in heaven. We acknowledge who he is, and you're in heaven, I'm on earth, you're above me. Now, we don't have to go before God timidly and be like, okay, God, can I even approach you right now? Like, God says, come to me. You can come to me, but we remember our hearts are bowed before God in prayer and in worship, and so we remember through prayer that we're submitting to his leadership and we're following him. And number five, prayer is how we engage in the spiritual battle around us. Started out by talking about the fact that we see devastation around us, and the people in Hawaii and people over in Medical Lake right now and the people that are affected by the fires here locally, and they see devastation, they see heartache, they see death. Those are things that are easy to see. The things that we, I think, typically can kind of push to the side and maybe neglect is the spiritual battle that's around us, the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in at all times. The physical things, they pop up here and there. The spiritual things are constantly around us at all times, which is why in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says this as he's writing to the church, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. The enemy is the devil. It's Satan. Let's not get that confused. It's not a person. It's the devil. It's the enemy. After the battle, you will be standing firm. So stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, the peace that comes from the good news, so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, and stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Be persistent in your prayers. This is how we battle. This is how we fight. We will not win a spiritual battle using physical weapons. We engage the spiritual through spiritual weapons. And Paul is saying, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, belt of truth, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of truth, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always. Pray in the Spirit always. This is how we engage in spiritual warfare. Every morning, and I don't say this to say I'm the best parent there is. I say this because I believe the power of prayer is what Scripture says it is. So every morning when I get up, the first thing I do is I walk up the stairs. I go to the right, and my daughter's room is here. My son's room is here. My daughters have the same room. My son's right here. And I stand in between their rooms, and I literally hold my hands out, and I just say, God, would you bless my kids today? Would you protect them from the enemy? Would you remind them that they are loved? Would you remind them that their identity and their value is in you? God, don't let the world change them. Let them change the world. Give them leadership. Give them influence. Let them be a light for you in Jesus' name. And I pray. pray this over my kids because I know that if my kids are to go out and make a difference in this world and to fight the battle that's around them at the young age of 7 and 11 years old, they need prayer and they need prayer warriors and they need parents and grandparents and friends and relatives and the church to stand up and pray for them over there and with them because there's a battle that is going on for our kids and we are not going to let it win. Pray over your kids. And if you don't know what to say, simply just say, Jesus, protect them. He knows. He knows. He knows what they need, and he knows what they need to be prayed over them. Pray over your kids. Pray over your wife. Pray with, for, and over your spouse. Pray with your roommates. Pray with your relatives. If you're in college, you have roommates, go and pray. Just hold hands with your roommates and just go, guys, this apartment, this house, whatever, this is going to be a house of prayer. This is going to be a house where the enemy is not going to be allowed into. Pray, pray, pray. So, which this leads us then to how. So prayer. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God. It's maintaining a relationship with God. It's engaging in spiritual warfare. It's submitting to his leadership. It's acknowledging who he is. But then how? And this is a great question because even in Luke chapter 11, Jesus just went off by himself and was praying and was engaging in this spiritual warfare. And he comes back and his disciples come to him and they say this, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, this isn't a new concept. Prayer isn't a new concept to his disciples. They see the Old Testament scriptures. They know the temple is supposed to be a house of prayer, but there was something different about how Jesus prayed. He prayed as if that the God that he was praying to actually heard his prayers and actually wanted his relationship. So he comes down off the mountain. His disciples are like, Lord, you got to teach us how to pray. Teach us how to do what you do. And Jesus gives them the Lord's Prayer. And it's so interesting because there's an intentional progression to this prayer. This isn't just like Jesus is throwing some statements out on the wall and seeing which ones stick. And like there's an actual progression to this prayer. And it's almost like he has the great commandments in mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments, to love God and love others. And so when Jesus teaches us how to pray, he first starts with this idea of loving God, elevating God, honoring God, worshiping God, because he says this. And I would just love for us to say, let's just say the Lord's Prayer together. It's going to be on the screen. Let's just say this together. This is found in Matthew chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, teach us to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father. Have you ever just thought about the reality that God, the creator of the universe, who spoke the galaxies into existence, who formed you with his hands, who breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, that same God who designed and created and sustains everything around us is your Father. Is your Father. And we're going to dive into this next week of the reality of what that looks like, but we can just stop right there. When Jesus said this, when Jesus said, pray like this, our Father, to the Jews who heard that, it was mind-blowing. This is Yahweh. This is God Almighty. This is creator of the universe. And Jesus is saying, this is Abba, Father. This is Daddy. This is Papa. This is like Dad. I can call you Dad. This was mind-blowing. As you pray, do you have this view of God that he is your Father, that he's your Dad, who wants nothing more than to talk to you, to have a relationship with you? It's mind-blowing. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. So first we address him as Father. It's this relationship that we can have. But then we say, holy is your name, or hallowed be your name. We remember that God is holy. We remember the names of God as he gives us all throughout Scripture. He's provider, he's sustainer, he's protector, he's savior, he's creator. He's our safe place. He's our high tower. He's our strength. He's our refuge. He's our joy. He's our peace. You pray these things. God, thank you. Thank you that you're my father, and thank you that you are my peace and my provider and my sustainer and my protector and my hope. Thank you that you hold my future in your hands. We hallow his name. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done. We pray for God's will in our life. We pray that his will be done in our life. And sometimes you go, well, I don't know what God's will is. Tell him that. God, I don't know what your will is, but I want to know your will. I want to do and to be a part of your will. I want to partner with you in allowing your kingdom to come here on earth. So we pray for his will to be done. After we've hallowed him, after we've lifted him up in praise, and we've prayed for his will to be done, then we say, give us this day now our daily bread. We pray for the things that we need that day. We pray that God would answer the prayers. We depend on him for everything. Our daily bread. He doesn't say our weekly bread. He doesn't say our monthly bread or annual bread. I'm not saying it's bad to pray for things that we know are coming up next week, next month, or next year. But God's saying, would you depend on me today for the needs that you have today? Would you focus on what's in front of you today? Matthew chapter 6, it says, today has enough trouble of its own. Stop worrying about all the things that are going on around you and just focus on today. We pray for his will to be done today. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We remember that in order to be forgiven, we have to forgive. We remember that he forgave us of our sins, of our debts, of our trespasses. We remember how much he's forgiven us. And that propels us to go now and love other people well. Even the ones that are frustrating and hard to love. Especially the ones that are hard and frustrating to love. Because we remember how much he's loved us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. God, protect me today from the devil. Protect me from the evil schemes that he wants to throw at me. We engage in spiritual warfare. And then we remember that yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and yours is the glory. We express our faith in God's ability. And the church said amen. So, as we talk about prayer and as we go into this series, our hope and our prayer is that this revolutionizes the way that we engage with God. That this revolutionizes how we actually pray and the words that we say. Prayer is not just simply words that are coming out of our mouth. Prayer is a heart posture before God, an acknowledgement of who he is. Reminding ourselves of our need and our dependence on him and acknowledging that his kingdom comes before our own. Church, I'm just going to ask you to stand up with me right now. And as you do, here's what I would just love for everyone to do right now. And if it's hard for you to stand and close your eyes at the same time, that's okay. But I'm just going to ask you to, we're just going to end today. We're going to end this morning with two prayers. One that I just want everyone to pray. We're going to pray this together, and then we're going to end with one prayer, and this is a prayer for maybe someone here today, maybe if it's just one person that has never surrendered their life to Jesus. We're all going to pray a prayer of repentance together, and if this is your first time praying, maybe you've never accepted Jesus into your heart and into your mind, into your life, then today we're just going to pray a prayer with you. We're not going to make you stand up and pray it by yourself. We're going to all pray this prayer together. So first prayer we're going to pray corporately together is just a prayer acknowledging who God is. And so, church, would you pray this prayer with me this morning? Say, Heavenly Father, you are holy, and I worship your name. Please allow your will to be done in my life. I submit to you. Thank you for giving me everything I need. Thank you for forgiving me. Please help me to forgive others. Please protect me from the enemy and give me victory over temptation. You deserve all glory, all honor, and all praise forever and ever. Amen. Okay, church, man, this is just a simple prayer that we can pray every day. But now as we continue to keep our eyes closed, please just close your eyes, don't look around. Right now I'm just going to simply just lead us in a prayer of repentance. A prayer that if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or maybe you've stepped back from following him, and today you're going to decide, maybe for the first time, or maybe the second time, of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've wandered from him, you've drifted from him, and today is the day that you're going to get back on track with the Lord. You're going to surrender to him. He is your Savior. He is your God. He loves you. He's your Father, and he wants a relationship with you. He wants to take your worry, and he wants it to turn into peace. He wants to take your heartache and your chaos and the drama that's been going on in your life, and he wants to comfort you in that. He wants to take your sin and cast it as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more because he's a good, good Father. And today, if you want to accept him, I'm simply just going to ask you to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it with you. So church, let's say this together. Dear God, today I'm deciding to surrender to you. I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I need your grace. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name. Come on, church, to say amen together. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know about that. We're going to have some prayer warriors up here in the front that would love to pray with you, that would love to talk to you, that would love to connect with you. If that was your first time praying that prayer and you said, man, today I gave my life to Jesus. Come on, church, let's just celebrate that today with these people. Come and talk to us. Come and have a conversation with us. We want to do life with you. You don't have to do life alone. You weren't meant to. We're going to have people up on the sides of the stages that are going to be ready to pray with you, over you, and for you. And we'd love to know about the decision. So, Father, we love you. We commit this time to you. And every single person who made a decision to follow you today, we commit them into your hands. God, would you give them the courage and the strength and the boldness just to come forward and talk to someone today? Whether it's up front with our prayer warriors, whether it's a staff member after church, whatever that is, God, would you encourage them, empower them, remind them they don't have to do this life alone. God, as we engage in spiritual warfare, I pray that you would prepare us for the battle that's ahead of us. The enemy does not like it. We are invading his territory, but God, we're doing it with you on our side and the Holy Spirit living in us. We know that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and we know the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so we pray in the name of Jesus that you would protect our church, protect our families, protect our kids, protect our youth, protect our marriages. Lord, would you protect this place and fill it with your Holy Spirit? We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, church, everyone say amen together.